Welcome in, Eagles fans, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. It's Lou DiBiase joining you here on our wrap-up show of the Eagles-Browns preseason game last night that finished with what was a hockey score as the Cleveland Browns take down the Eagles by a score of 5-0. Hope you enjoyed something in the game because looking over social media and just looking at the reactions from not only Eagles fans but Eagles media, not just those two, but you know the coaching staff. Doug Peterson was not happy after the game or during the game. You know, with Aaron Andrews' halftime report about Peterson really just being blunt about Foles' performance. It wasn't a great day in the tune-up game for the regular season, as again the Eagles get shut out in Cleveland. And we're going to get into all the takes today. We're going to go with our stock up, stock down weekly segment after yesterday's game. So if you missed, we had our preview show up on the feed yesterday. Also, I did a really awesome show for you guys though too. Since the Eagles were in Cleveland, I thought it'd be a nice time to take a trip down memory lane and remember back to when the Cleveland Browns traded their number 2 overall pick to the Philadelphia Eagles back in 2016 to acquire Carson Wentz, quarterback out of North Dakota State, now the face of the franchise. And look, if you were miserable throughout the entire game, I don't know how much you take into preseason. I don't put a whole lot into it, and we'll get into that in a minute. But if you could take one good thing out of yesterday, it was watching Carson Wentz warm up on the sidelines before the game and on the field, you know, doing reps. They were putting him through cone drills that seemed like combine stuff. It kind of got you a little flashback to, you know, Carson Wentz's combine performance in his pro day. But that leg looks strong. Carson Wentz looks explosive. He even tripped at one point on one of the drills, got up with a smile on his face. He got right back into it. Carson Wentz looks extremely healthy, and he is going to play week one, if you ask me right now. He has come along so far in just 9 months of rehab. It's an incredible story, and he's going to play week one. I put a lot of money on it right now if I was a betting man that, you know, even though Nick Foles struggled yesterday, again, if you're concerned with the performances of the Eagles the past couple of weeks throughout this preseason, it's been pretty sloppy. Just know that, you know, the Eagles are getting back their MVP quarterback, Carson Wentz, and so I think you're going to forget pretty quickly about the 2018 preseason once September 6th, that Thursday night, really kicks in and Carson Wentz gets back on the field, because he's going to. If you saw him, just he has so much confidence in that leg. Again, I've been saying it all summer, if the knee brace wasn't on there, that doesn't look like an injured player to me at all. So coming up on the show today, we're going to get our takeaways from the Eagles' 5-0 loss to the Browns in yesterday's preseason battle. Who shined? Who faltered? Who's trying to make the case? You know, who did a better job at making the case of making the 53-man roster? Who looks like now they're on the bubble, probably on the verge of getting cut? And who did not help their case to have a bigger role with this Eagles team in 2018? That's coming up right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. But, you know, let's just get into it with first just the overreactions. I think we got to stop with them. And of course, you know, the national media is going to get into it. It's why I'm putting myself on national media lockdown until week one, because the Eagles are Super Bowl champions. They're under the microscope now more than they've ever been before. You know, the Eagles always normally get national media coverage. They're a big market in the NFL. They're one of the more well-known teams in the league throughout their history. But now that they've won a Super Bowl, you know, they have a target on their back. We're going to be talking about this team because they are the champions now. They took down the New England Patriots, so they're under the microscope now. They are the defending champions, and so yeah, they're going to get the national media coverage. I don't like the national media. I think they overreact to things. I don't think they really do their due diligence. I don't think they look very deep into each situation, and I don't blame them, because you can't really cover 32 teams and know everything about every situation. And of course, you're trying to make headlines, you're trying to get clicks. You know, there's clickbait with national media all the time. And that's why I'm kind of putting myself on lockdown here, because I don't want to hear the "are the Eagles already dealing with the Super Bowl hangover" type of storylines right now, because I don't think it's true, I don't think it's valid, and I don't think it's necessary for fans. And it's, of course, part of the reason that they post these stories and, you know, this coverage is to get Eagles fans riled up, and it's to, you know, gain attention. So I understand it, but I don't think it's valid. Have the Eagles been bad in the preseason? Yeah, they absolutely have. They, you know, the offense, the first team offense has been sloppy. The offensive line line, which was, if not still is, the best in football, they've been really bad, especially Halapuli Vaadi Vaitai. Nick Foles, the Super Bowl MVP, more so looks like 2015 St. Louis Rams Nick Foles. So the offense has been very subpar, and that might be an overstatement. The defense, I think, has been really good, though, so... And, you know, there's some good things that we can take away from this preseason as well. I don't think, again, yes, the offense has been really bad, but this hasn't been the disastrous preseason that I think a lot of people are making it seem like. I'm not going to overreact on either way. We've seen this before, guys. It's just, that's what's so aggravating about it, is each year you'd think, you know, during the regular season, it completely changes what we saw in the preseason. It's not even close. It's just, we can go back to last year. It's on both ends of the spectrum. Last year it was, man, the offensive line has been struggling. There's been this running game is non-existent. LeGarrette Blount looks like DeMarco Murray 2.0. Remember those headlines last year after the Bills preseason game? And then a couple years ago in 2015, the new look offense with Sam Bradford, DeMarco Murray, Ryan Matthews, and Darren Sproles. Sam Bradford's new, you know, he's the new guy under center, or in the shotgun, considering Chip Kelly never went under center, but I digress. The offense put up, what, 30-plus in all 3 weeks when the starters played, including that Week 3 Green Bay game that, like I mentioned on yesterday's show, suddenly got people to start predicting the Eagles to go all the way to the Super Bowl, including Adam Schefter, who picked Sam Bradford to win the Super Bowl MVP. So we've seen it on both ends of the spectrum. We've seen the Eagles dominate the preseason and suddenly gain this huge hype for the regular season as this powerhouse, and we've seen it the past couple of years with different struggles on the roster that, oh man, is this going to be a concern that seeps into the regular season? It's just what's going to happen, because we're prisoners of the moment, and this is what we're getting right now, and we have to analyze it. I just don't want to overanalyze it, because we do need to take a step back a lot of the time and say, this is preseason. Not only do wins and losses not matter, but, you know, individual performances do matter. But not always, you know, there's only so much weight you can put into it. So, yes, of course, you want to see the offense perform. You don't want to see them struggle. Is it a good sign that they're playing bad? Obviously not. But you even heard Doug Peterson say it. The offense is still pretty vanilla. You know, they're not scheming around who they're playing. They're not trying to fit the strengths of any of their players right now. He even mentioned, when talking about Nick Foles' struggles, they're not using RPOs and different type of stuff like that that makes Nick Foles comfortable. So I think we all just need to take a little bit of a breather, relax, because this Eagles team still is going to be one of the best teams in the NFL. They're going to be a contender for the Super Bowl this year. They're, to me, going to be a playoff team. I don't want to have all this different overreaction because of the past couple of weeks. Has it been bad? Yeah, it really has. It's not encouraging that you got whooped by the Cleveland Browns on defense, you know, at least. When the Eagles are on defense, they've looked really good over the past few weeks. On offense, yes, it's been not a great sign, but preseason, offense is more dependent on scheming than defense, if you ask me. Defense, you can kind of have a vanilla defense scheme schematically, and you can still go out there and ball out. Offensively, if you're really just, it's a vanilla offense and your receivers aren't winning matchups and your offensive line's struggling, that's just, you know, you're not going to do a whole lot to try to change that. You're not going to go deep into your playbook and dig out a lot of things that you're going to show that you will use in the regular season. So I've just seen this way too many times to get pulled back into it. Maybe a couple years ago I would have got back into the overreaction theater that happened to me in 2015 with the Eagles, and I've learned from that since, and now I know to take the preseason with a grain of salt. Obviously I do have to analyze it here on Locked On Eagles, but I like to do it more so for the younger players that are trying to make the roster, and, you know, and try to do it from a perspective of who's trying to grow, who's trying to make the roster, who's trying to sketch out a role on the team when they do make the roster, like a guy like Shelton Gibson. Those are the kind of stories that I like to cover in the preseason, more so than, oh man, the first team offense just was sloppy. It's something that you do have to consider, and there should be a little bit of concern for it, but not to the extent that a lot, especially the national media, sensationalizes, or just the fans. And, you know, their fans are fans. It's how they're going to react. I'm just telling you now, listening to the show, just to take a step back and understand that this still is the preseason. And, man, they're without almost their entire starting offense when you think about it, right? Well, not the entire offense, but the team didn't have So yesterday's first team offense, and I'm doing air quotes, which you obviously can't see, the team did not have Alshon Jeffrey out there at receiver. They did not have Nelson Agholor. They didn't have Mac Hollins. They didn't have Jason Peters. They didn't have Carson Wentz. They didn't have Jay Ajayi. They didn't have Corey Clement. And they didn't have Darren Sproles. So your starting receivers are Mike Wallace, and then you were using a rotation of Shelton Gibson and DeAndre Carter, who we're going to get into, had a big game, and Greg Ward Jr. So really, your first team wasn't even really your first team. You had backups in at quarterback, you had backups in at running back and receiver, and at left tackle. I know Big V is a player that was a starter in the Super Bowl run, but nonetheless, he is a backup when Jason Peters comes back. Jason Peters is going to anchor that left tackle spot. So that's the thing, too, is like we have to take it with a grain of salt, even if the starters were in and they struggled. But the Eagles didn't even have, how many guys did I just count that weren't with the offense yesterday that are going to be starters throughout the regular season? They're all going to be key cogs in this offense. You know, without a lot of these guys, yeah, the team yesterday on the field probably isn't a playoff team in the NFC, but you add two top-notch receivers, a Hall of Fame left tackle, an MVP candidate quarterback, and then your three running backs. Your starting running back yesterday was Wendell Smallwood. You were running through Wendell Smallwood, Josh Adams, and Matt Jones. So the three guys that are actually going to be part of the rotation in Corey Clement, Jay Ajayi, and Darren Sproles, they were all off the field too. So I think we need to take a breather. It was a brutal, sloppy game that ended in a 5-0 hockey type score, but nonetheless, I'm not taking whole lot into it as the Eagles fell once again to the Cleveland Browns yesterday 5-0. Coming up on the Locked On Eagles podcast, we're getting into our stock up, stock down weekly segment, who popped and who fell in yesterday's matchup against the Cleveland Browns. But first, I'd like to talk to you guys today about our new development on the Locked On Podcast Network. Locked On is now Locked On to College. This week we launched the college channel for the Locked On Podcast Network. So not only now do you have NBA shows, NFL, now you are also getting, and you know, NBA, you're also now getting college sports. If you're a fan of Alabama, Arkansas, Tennessee, Florida, Kentucky, we got Oklahoma, Baylor, we got Penn State, Oregon, or BYU. If you're a diehard fan of any of those schools, go to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and follow for free. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, now college style. All right, welcome back into the show. Let's get into our stock up, stock down segment, Eagles Browns edition, recapping yesterday's 5-0 loss to Cleveland in the Week 3 preseason battle. And we're going to start off with stock up. Who yesterday? Because there's been a lot of negative headlines throughout the day because of the Eagles' sloppiness on offense, getting shut out by who was a 0-16 Cleveland Browns team in 2017. So the headlines right now aren't looking good. But for me, I didn't think the performance was actually as bad as some people say. Even for the offense, you know, they had a crap ton of turnovers, but they still moved the ball up and down the field pretty well sometimes, you know, and the defense looked absolutely looked on lockdown. And we're going to start our stock up segment on defense, and that's with first linebacker Jordan Hicks, who was doing exactly what, you know, I said in my linebacker preview that he was going to do, and that's reminding us why he was one of the best inside linebackers in the league before he was hurt. You know, he had that great sack on the all-out blitz, played that goal line stand by the defense was awesome. Nothing else right could have happened throughout the game, and I would have been happy because of that goal line stand where on fourth and goal, Tyrod Taylor rolls out to his left. He's trying to drag in Ronald Darby and Jordan Hicks, trying to bring them in so he can get it over their heads to a receiver in the back of the end zone. Or if the receiver and linebacker hold back a little bit, Tyrod's trying to run into the end zone, and Jordan Hicks played it perfectly, kind of came into Tyrod a little bit, then when Tyrod backed off and tried to, you know, look back for a pass, Hicks backs up perfectly and knocks the ball down. He's just been so good in coverage in the preseason, and he's been tackling all over the field. He has been a monster. Anywhere the ball has been, Jordan Hicks has been. It's not just him, but Nigel Bradham, too. Every time you see a player, you know, run after the catch, you see a receiver take off, it just seems like Jordan Hicks and Nigel Bradham are always where the ball is. It's going to be one of the best, if not the best, linebacker duo in the NFL. And Jordan Hicks is going to take this defense to another level, I think, because of how good Bradham was last year and because of the run without Hicks, who, you know, after that Washington game was put on IR, we kind of forget because the defense was still amazing. I think we forget just how good Jordan Hicks has been throughout his career, and he looks like a beast. He looks like his 2016 form, the guy that's all over the ball, making big plays with interceptions, forced fumbles, fumble recoveries. Jordan Hicks is set for a big year, and that might mean the Eagles got to pay him, but nonetheless, he looks incredible in the preseason so far, and he continued that performance against Cleveland yesterday. Another defensive player that I thought really helped his case and instilled some confidence in not only me, but Eagles fans, the team, and media alike, with that defensive tackle spot being wide open, and it's Haloti Ngata. He seemed like he was behind the line a lot yesterday. He really got the best of the Cleveland Browns interior offensive line. He got that one really big sack on Baker Mayfield. He got some other quarterback pressures. And again, he gave me some confidence in that defensive tackle spot outside of Fletcher Cox, because Elijah Qualls has not been good throughout the preseason. Destiny Vio has been pretty quiet. He's had some ups and downs throughout the summer and in, you know, back in OTAs and minicamp and in the preseason. So it's pretty concerning, especially considering the very murky future of Timmy Jernigan in Philadelphia. Haloti Ngata the past couple weeks has kind of looked slow and old and everything that you would think Haloti Ngata would look like at age 34, but then yesterday he's getting in the backfield with some really nice bull rushes, getting after Baker Mayfield. He ends up finishing with a sack. He probably could have got another one, and if he can play like that in a limited role with this Eagles team, it's going to make me feel a lot better about the defensive tackle position. You know, even if they don't get anything out of the two younger guys, at least we know we have Haloti Ngata right there next to Fletcher Cox anchoring that middle of the defensive line, because, two, you're going to see a lot of different packages with this defensive line. You're going to see Michael Bennett play a lot of defensive tackle. You're going to see Brandon Graham a lot. So Haloti Ngata is not even going to really play a huge role in the defense, but nonetheless, he is really your only other traditional defensive tackle that's a really good run stopper. Has had a successful career in the NFL. At one point was one of the best interior linemen in the league. So the fact that he could kind of step back into the past a little bit and look like his old Baltimore Ravens self was very encouraging, because the Eagles are going to need him until Timmy Jernigan comes back, and that's even if Timmy Jernigan comes back. So Haloti Ngata's stock is definitely rising after yesterday's matchup with the Browns, another defensive player that I was extremely impressed with, and I mentioned him as a key guy to watch against the Browns because of his matchup with Jarvis Landry, and that is cornerback Sidney Jones, who all but wrapped up the nickel job last night. There wasn't even a rotation between, you know, with the Patriots, you saw Sidney Jones coming in a lot in the slot, and then sometimes you'd see Avante Maddox. That wasn't the case yesterday. It was all Sidney Jones in the slot, and he made it worth it for the Eagles to keep him in there the entire half. He made some really, really good plays on the goal line stand that the Eagles had. I mentioned Jordan Hicks' great play on fourth down, but on first and second down, it was all Sidney Jones. In the goal line stand, he was up against Jarvis Landry inside, played Landry on a perfect fade. You know, the protection on Landry was perfect. He had great positioning, turned his hips, got his body to the ball, played it exactly you would want him to play it in the slot. And then he got in Jarvis Landry's way on that crosser on second and goal. He jammed him right at the line, and then, you know, he got in Landry's way, who then ended up wrapping up Jones and bringing him to the ground while, you know, Tyrod threw it to Landry. So Sidney Jones showed that aggressiveness on the line of scrimmage that I really think he can thrive in that area in the NFL, is that press coverage type corner. He's got the length, he's got the speed and the aggressiveness, and that jam on Jarvis Landry. Jarvis Landry's an aggressive receiver. He's one of the toughest guys to cover in the league, and Sidney Jones held him very well, not only on that goal line possession, but throughout the game. He even, at one point, was lined up against David Njoku in the slot, and in press coverage, he was all over him. He wrapped up Njoku, and he ended up forcing the ball to go on the other side of the field. I was very encouraged by Sidney Jones. He made some a couple other nice tackles, one on third down to get the defense off the field. He still needs to settle down a little bit. I think he's flying to the ball a little too fast sometimes. I love the aggressiveness, and so does Jim Schwartz and his corners. He loves his corners being hard hitters, but there's also sometimes that he oversells and ends up getting beat on a cut move by a offensive weapon. So I think that's the only part of Sidney Jones's game that I'd like to see corrected a little bit, but he looked really good yesterday against Cleveland. And I know Avante Maddox had that nice interception in the second half, but that was really all because of Nate Jerry, his play on the receiver at the line of scrimmage. So Sidney Jones looks like he's going to be the nickel corner, and I even tweeted it yesterday. It doesn't matter, even if Avante Maddox is a little bit better than Sidney Jones this year in the slot, having Sidney Jones on the field developing is crucial for the Eagles. It's a lot more important than having a little bit better play in the slot this year, because, again, even if Maddox is better in the slot right now, getting Sidney Jones on the field, getting him an entire season of playing experience, that's going to go a long way in helping him develop into the elite corner that Eagles fans and the team thinks he can be. You know, everyone's expecting him to be cornerback one eventually, and having him play a whole year and having him grow and have the ability to cover in the slot, that's a lot more important than just having a little bit of an upgrade in the slot right now, if Maddox was even better than Sidney Jones on the inside, which I don't actually even think he is right now. I think Sidney Jones has had a really solid preseason. A couple other guys that their stock rose after yesterday's matchup with the Browns, Wendell Smallwood. He was explosive through the hole, 12 carries for 53 yards. He averaged 4.4 yards per carry. He had to have himself a nice game. I know he's really been the only healthy guy, so he might be the favorite by default to win that fourth running back spot, but he hasn't played well against the Steelers or the Patriots. He looked really good in first-team reps with the Eagles yesterday, but so did Josh Adams. Josh Adams' stock is also rising. He had 4 carries for 33 yards, 8.3 yards per carry. He was hard to bring down. He looked like a version of LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi out there. Super hard to tackle. I remember on that 3rd and 11, he ends up getting a first down. It was 4 defenders trying to wrap him up. He drags them across the line to get the first down. That's a niche in this running back room that only Jay Ajayi has right now, is that big, powerful running back. And Josh Adams is just huge looking out there. He doesn't even seem like he's a running back walking on the field. He looks like an offensive lineman, really. He's just a big linebacker-looking guy. But when he gets downhill and runs hard, he is someone that's going to be very difficult to bring down. So it's going to be down between these two, Josh Adams and Wendell Smallwood, in that Week 4 final battle for that fourth RB spot. But right now, Josh Adams should be the favorite. He has run really well, not only against Cleveland last night, but against Pittsburgh in that Week 1 battle. So Josh Adams and Wendell Smallwood, their stock rose yesterday, and it's going to be down between those two in Week 4 as they probably battle for the fourth RB spot, I doubt the Eagles keep 5 running backs again. So my money still is on Josh Adams, but Wendell Smallwood definitely didn't hurt his chances last night. And then my final stock up from yesterday's game, and it's wide receiver DeAndre Carter, who I wasn't really taking seriously throughout the summer as a candidate to win that 6th wide receiver spot, if the Eagles even end up keeping 6 wide receivers, because in my last 53-man projection, I had them keeping 5. But right now, if I had to bet based on the Eagles' health at wide receiver, which is murky, with Jeffrey being hurt and Aguilar and Matt Collins, you know, outside of that, right now, who you're running, you have Mike Wallace and Shelton Gibson. Outside of your tight ends, of course, I can pass catch, but DeAndre Carter made a case for himself. He was playing with the first team yesterday, and he was probably the only wide receiver getting open. I mean, I shouldn't say that because Shelton Gibson had a good game, but Greg Ward Jr. wasn't getting open. Neither was Mike Wallace. It was really Carter and Gibson, and Carter ends up finishing the game 4 catches. He leads the team with receiving yards for 73. He was explosive. He had a big punt return that he just had the punter to get, and I love that he was laughing as he sees the punter being the lone man to stop him. The punter ends up getting him out of bounds, but Carter showed some explosion in the punt return game, and he had that amazing sideline catch on 4th and long late in the fourth where Nate Sudfeld's backing up, just throws up a prayer. Carter gets both feet in bounds as he stretches his body to catch the football. His explosion out of a break, you know, when he's running his routes, and his hard running, I mean, it was really impressive yesterday, especially on that one screen pass from Nick Foles. He ends up getting a first down. You know, nobody else has really stepped up for that sixth wide receiver spot. If he has another big game next week, he's got a shot to convince this Eagles team, because he's really come out of nowhere and has had a strong preseason and a strong camp. Some honorable mentions yesterday, who had a good day against Cleveland, if you ask me, defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz. Yes, a coach. I loved that he was dialing up some blitzes, knowing just how good the corners were playing. He could trust them in man coverage, because I mentioned Sidney Jones, but Jalen Mills wasn't tackling well, but his coverage yesterday was rock solid, and so was Ronald Darby's. I love that Jim Schwartz was getting creative with some blitzes that were really getting to Cleveland and were forcing some mistakes. Defensive end Chris Long is continuing to impress despite his old age at age 34. You know, he some of his spin moves, he was getting to the quarterback. I think he had at least three quarterback pressures early in the first quarter. Chris Long, I know this might be his final year, but he is still going to be a huge part of this defensive core, and he gets kind of thrown under the rug because the Eagles have so many pass rushers, but Chris Long is still an intricate part of this defense. And then Jordan Mailata as well. He's someone that's going to make the 53-man roster. I was talking to Gino today, you know, after watching the game. And by the way, Gino will be back next week. He's on vacation, and then he'll be back next week, and we will continue to co-host this thing throughout the season. So excited to get Gino Camilleri back on the show. But we were talking today, and, you know, Jordan Mailata was strong against Cleveland again. His footwork looked a lot better. You know, his initial release is still a little wide, but I think he is so athletic, and he's explosive down the field in run blocking. He's an exciting player to watch. He's just this blank canvas that Jeff Stoutland took and just has molded into what could be a really good football player. And we should know, as Jason Peters being the anchor of this offensive line for the past decade, that a guy like Mailata, despite not having a long history in the sport of football, he can still end up being a player here. He's going to make the roster just based on the need for a reserve tackle. But not only that, he has so much upside with this team. I'm not saying he's the future left tackle or right tackle, but he definitely has a role with this Eagles team in the future. He has a lot of upside that he could eventually become, I'm not going to say a Jason Peters type of career, but he could be a player in the NFL, and that's saying a lot considering Jordan Mailata just a year ago wasn't even playing football. So, you know, Jason Peters did it. He was an undrafted tight end coming out of Arkansas, ended up catching on with the Bills, moved to offensive line, and look where he is now. He's a Hall of Famer, and I think Jordan Mailata has a real shot of having a similar type of path to the NFL. Coming up on the Locked On Eagles podcast right after this break, we finish up the show with our stock down. Who struggled against Cleveland? There were a lot of them. We're going to get to a few that did not help their case against the Cleveland Browns. That's coming up right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back to the show. Let's wrap it up in our stock down, up, stock down segment with stock down. Who did not help their case of making the 53-man roster, or just did not instill confidence in you Eagles fans that if they have to go on the field and play throughout the regular season, that it's going to be a good performance? Because right now, and I'll start off with it, Nick Foles, quarterback, former Super Bowl MVP, if you forgot already, because it seems like the way he is being attacked that people forget already just how good he was just a couple months ago. But stock down, we have to start with Nick Foles, and it's not unjustified that he's getting criticism. Nick Foles has been terrible the past 2 weeks. He had two interceptions yesterday. He tripped over himself and ended up falling into the back of the end zone. That ended up being the safety for Cleveland that ended up giving them 2 points. Nick Foles was bad, but you know, he's the ultimate roller coaster ride. I still have confidence in him, though, that if he needs to play this year, if there were ever a time again, and knock on wood, that Carson Wentz goes down in the regular season, I still think, you know, we're not back to the end of last year where it's should Nate Sudfeld play over Nick Foles. I have a lot of confidence in what Nate Sudfeld could be in the NFL and with the Eagles, but still right now, Nick Foles is still your backup, and he's still a guy that, if he needs to play, when the Eagles start scheming on offense, when they start trying to build around his strengths again in the regular season, he's someone I have confidence in that the Eagles can still win games with, and that's not going away just because of two bad preseason games. This is just what you get with Nick Foles. This is what he is. He has super high highs, and he has extremely low lows. That's, you know, he can go out in a season and throw 27 touchdowns and two picks, and then 2 years later, he can go out and end up getting benched for Case Keenum with the St. Louis Rams and be out of football that almost forever, but, you know, and almost forced him into retirement. That's what you get with Nick Foles. He's the ultimate lightning in a bottle type of player. But I think what this does show with, you know, it's not something that now, oh, he's terrible, we should play Nate Sudfeld in the regular season. It's not that bad, because he still did move the ball at times yesterday. He got into a rhythm. The problem is, he is a rhythm quarterback, and then when he ends up making one bad play, he ends up resetting, and, you know, he was trying to force some plays yesterday that just didn't work. He just, that this is the type of player he is. So, but again, I think that's telling in why the Eagles should have traded him. If this report was true, that the Cleveland Browns ended up, and they're probably watching him yesterday, Cleveland fans are probably like, thank God we didn't give up a second-round pick for this guy, and instead we gave up a third for Tyrod Taylor. Because that is who Nick Foles is, though. He is in the Tyrod group more so than he is in the group of elite quarterbacks in the NFL. And I think because of just how good he was in the playoffs, and we can't take anything away from that, he's going to be a legend in Eagles history forever, because he is a Super Bowl MVP, and he is a Super Bowl champion, and that will always have had happened. You cannot deny that, but there are times like this too where he looks like he doesn't belong in the NFL, and that's just who he is. And that's why, if the report was true that we could have got a second round pick for him, that's something that the Eagles really should have took, but they didn't, and he is the backup now. And I think, though, yesterday was a showing that the playoffs was not a glimpse into the future. Yesterday was a sign that this is who he is, and I think a lot of teams saw that, and probably his trade value went down very, very low after the past 2 weeks because of his performances. If the Eagles had any shot of trading for him, or trading him to another team this year for a decent pick, it doesn't look like that's going to be the case at all anymore. And he's really hurt himself for his future of maybe becoming a starter again down the road. You know, if he doesn't get any playing time in the regular season, this might be it. And then, can he convince a team next year that he can be their, not just the face of the franchise, but maybe even starting quarterback? He might just end up being what Sam Bradford is, a bridge quarterback you bring in if you don't want to end up playing your young quarterback. And I think after the playoffs last year, he was hoping, and we were assuming, that someone would come in and want him to be more than that. And, you know, even though Cleveland offered a second-round pick, they did probably just want him to be a bridge quarterback. Who knows, if they give up a second, do they select Baker Mayfield? I don't know. They still, to me, probably do. But that is a trade that I'm really, really wishing the Eagles took if it was actually on the table, and they didn't. But yesterday showed you who Nick Foles is. High highs and extremely low lows, and to me, they should have took a pick for him while they could. And again, he's just a player. He's got to play well behind a line, a good offensive line. If the offensive line struggles, Nick Foles is going to struggle, and that's what happened yesterday. And he's a rhythm quarterback. He couldn't get into a rhythm because he was forcing things. He was getting rushed by that Cleveland Browns defensive line that kept getting after him, especially Myles Garrett, who's going to be elite in the NFL. He looked incredible. He's a schematic quarterback. He is a scheme-dependent player, and Doug Peterson's offense really didn't have any sort of structure yesterday and any sort of game plan. So that's why I'm also, you know, I'm not taking, again, with the preseason, I'm not going too low with this, and I'm not going too high. I think yesterday was a sign that, yeah, Nick Foles is an average quarterback, and he has, again, very high highs and very low lows. But he also, that yesterday isn't who he's going to be all season if the Eagles need to play him. If they have to play him in the regular season, Doug Peterson's going to build a much better game plan around him, and he's going to play a lot better than he did in this past 2 weeks. So I'm not encouraged by what Nick Foles did yesterday too, but I'm not totally just giving up on the fact that last year was just a total mirage, because he, again, has multiple times in his career, he has had historic runs in the NFL. So, but Nick Foles' stock is definitely down in a second straight bad week against the Cleveland Browns, another player who did not help their case in back-to-back weeks, it's Halapuli Vaadi Vaitai. Big V did not look like he knew what he was doing on the field yesterday. I'm not sure what's happening to him, if they're trying to change up his technique, if he's trying different stuff, or what's going on, but Myles Garrett made him look like a rookie. His technique was bad. Big V was too high, you know, in his stance, especially into with his handwork, and he had stone feet and in pass protection. I don't know what's going on with Big V the past couple of weeks, but hopefully he can correct that, because the Eagles might need him. They've needed him the past 2 years with when Lane Johnson was suspended and when Jason Peters went down last year. Not sure what's happening with Big V right now, but his stock is absolutely down, and we'll see if he plays in week four. He did get banged up yesterday against the Browns, but Big V has not looked good this summer at all. Another person that stock is down is running back Matt Jones. He's gone. I know he was probably the favorite to win the fourth RB spot heading into training camp. I thought the coaching staff really liked him, but he had another fumble. He ran extremely timid. Was averaging, 2 yards a carry. Didn't have any big runs. He had a couple catches out of the backfield, but Matt Jones does not look like the player at all that was gashing the Eagles a couple years ago with the Redskins, and it's down again. It's a two-man race now between Josh Adams and Wendell Smallwood, because Danelle Pumphrey continues to be MIA. I don't know what they're going to do with him. Maybe stash him on the IR again and keep him for one more year. Hope that next year he ends up playing. But Matt Jones is definitely probably not making this team. I said probably. He's not making this team. It's over for Matt Jones. I don't even think a big game against the Jets would convince the Eagles to keep Matt Jones. And then two more players that did not help their case yesterday against the Brown. One, Greg Ward Jr., who I actually thought at one point was going to be the favorite to win the sixth wide receiver spot. He was decent on special teams at times. Hasn't really made any big catches. Struggled to gain separation on corners yesterday. He's a player that I've been pretty high on over the past couple years, but right now DeAndre Carter, I think, leapfrogged him last night, and because of Shelton Gibson's emergence, I don't think that Greg Ward Jr. is making the 53-man roster. And then one more player that struggled yesterday, Jalen Mills. Jalen Mills, and it's more so his stock is down as a tackler. I'm still very confident in Jalen Mills heading into the season. He's one of the best tackling corners probably in the NFL when you think about it. Not just on the Eagles, but Jalen Mills is an extremely strong tackler. But yesterday it just seemed like he forgot how to tackle. He was rushing too fast. He was coming in hot too low and wasn't really trying to tackle with his arms. And sometimes you get caught too many times trying to lower the shoulder and just lay the body on someone. And then they end up making you miss with one move, cut up the field, and they're gone. And Jalen Mills struggled in that area. I thought he covered well, but he definitely was not great in tackling yesterday. Not down on Jalen Mills, though. He is still going to be a big part of this defense, obviously, throughout the season. But Jalen Mills' stock is down after the Cleveland Browns matchup last night. That's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Available, as always, on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. We'll be back next week to wrap up the preseason. Thank God, Eagles fans. Thanks for tuning in. Follow me on Twitter at DiBiaseLOE. Please leave us a review and a rate on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts. And of course, check out the mothership, the website, lockdowneagles.com, where we always post our podcasts and written content. That's going to do it for myself, Lou DiBiase, this week. See you next week. Let's go, Birds.